This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, July 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
President Trump criticizes Theresa May's Brexit plan upon his arrival in the UK.
The deal that she's striking is not what the people voted on. It was not the deal that was in the referendum.
As trade tensions continue, China's surplus with the U.S. hits a record.
And DOJ once again challenges AT&T's takeover of Time Warner.
There were fireworks on Capitol Hill after embattled FBI agent Peter Strzok testified about his anti-Trump text messages. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees just trying to keep pace with red-hot Boston, and the Nets straight away a crowd favorite.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are gaining again today as concerns about trade tensions with China appear to be easing. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures up 3. NASDAQ futures also up 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 28 cents to $70.04 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% on $4.10 to $12.42.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1636 and the yen 112.47. Bob.
We begin in London, where President Trump made waves just hours after his arrival yesterday by criticizing Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. It was a painful early blow for Theresa May, Trump slamming her plans for a soft Brexit, suggesting they could end hopes of a trade deal with the US. And that will really frustrate the Prime Minister, because she was hoping to impress the President and use this 3-day visit to push for such a deal. Here's what Trump had to say in that interview with the Sun newspaper.
The deal that she's striking is not what the people voted on. It's a much different deal than the people voted on. It was not the deal that was in the referendum. No, but it'll definitely affect trade with the United States, unfortunately, in a negative way.
And it was a double whammy for May. Trump also praised Boris Johnson, the former foreign secretary who resigned from the cabinet this week, saying he'd be a, quote, great leader. And that'll chime with British citizens. Johnson's ambitions for bagging the top job have been widely speculated for many years. Today, Trump will have tea with the Queen at Windsor Castle, and he'll be making much of his travels by helicopter and largely avoiding London as protesters take to the streets. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Turning to the latest on trade now, China's monthly surplus of the United States rose to a record in June. We get the details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Bob, Karen, this will complicate matters for both sides. The trade surplus with the U.S. was $28.97 billion, a record in data going back to 1999. Overall, Chinese exports jumped 11.3%, well above the Bloomberg survey of 9.5%, but down from the prior quarter. Imports up a healthy 14.1%, but miles away from the forecast of 21.3%. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. And a full-blown trade war would be devastating for economies on both sides. So says Guggenheim Partners Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard.
That tail of risk is just getting fatter and fatter as we go along. And so far, the Chinese have shown no interest in backing down, and neither does Donald Trump. So the likelihood that we're going to strike a deal, I mean, let's just say it's 50-50. I mean, those are some pretty high odds of risk, and the consequences of a trade war would be devastating for both the U.S. and the Chinese economy.
In an interview with Bloomberg, Scott Minard said he would like to see the U.S. use other means to pressure China instead of the, quote, blunt force of tariffs.
On the monetary policy front, Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker says he's comfortable if inflation overshoots a central bank's target, and his base case for rates calls for just one more hike this year. Harker spoke exclusively to Bloomberg from the Rocky Mountain Economic Summit in Idaho.
In the beginning of the year, I had put in 3 for this year, 3 for next year. I've not moved off of that, although I am open to a 4th increase this year if we do see inflation starting to accelerate.
Harker's comments come after data yesterday showed a pickup in annual inflation that may keep the Fed on track for gradual rate increases.
A big day for U.S. banks ahead, with J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup reporting earnings. A preview now from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Results from J.P. Morgan will include views on customer sentiment and insights on demand. J.P. Morgan's optimism for loan growth throughout the industry faded during the quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence says Wells Fargo must show continued progress in second quarter results to move beyond the fallout from its fake account scandal. Despite lower fees than last year, Wells Fargo could see strength from its credit and mortgage businesses. Citigroup will likely face questions about macroeconomic risks and trade concerns on its earnings call. Loan growth and demand could be barometers for Citi. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Mark. Shares of AT&T down more than 1.5% in early trading after the Justice Department said it will appeal the decision allowing the company's takeover of Time Warner. Bloomberg's Ed Hammond has more from the Allen & Company Sun Valley Conference in Idaho.
It's an absolutely unprecedented decision by the Justice Department to go after a merger that has already closed. We don't know very much at this point about why they've done it, what triggered this move to appeal the decision. The real knock-on is going to be what it does for the mood music around the M&A environment. A lot of big deals are hanging out there, sort of predicated on the fact that the Justice Department lost that case and the environment for M&A was supposed to be improving. This changes that. So more information will come out in the next few days about what exactly DOJ are planning to appeal and how they're planning to appeal it, but it's going to be a very, very rocky period between now and then. Ed Hammond in Sun Valley, Idaho for Bloomberg News.
Ed, thanks. Johnson & Johnson has been ordered to pay $4.7 billion to 22 women who claimed asbestos in talc products caused ovarian cancer. This marks the 6th largest product defect verdict in U.S. history. The cases are part of more than 9,000 claims alleging that J&J's talc products cause cancer. Shares of Johnson & Johnson down 3.25% in early trading.
And futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures down a point. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Sharply partisan verbal volleys on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. It was a raucous congressional hearing involving embattled FBI agent Peter Strzok. Strzok's anti-Trump text messages exposed the Justice Department to claims of institutional bias. Strzok, during 10 hours of testimony yesterday, said the texts reflected purely personal opinions that he never acted on. It was already tense, but then chaos erupted when Republican Louie Gohmert asked this.
I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness is always an issue. Mr. Chairman, this is intolerable harassment
of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
Strzok testified publicly for the first time since being removed from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team following the discovery of the text last year. Today, Strzok's alleged lover, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page, will be on the hot seat on Capitol Hill. There are signs of growing frustration among Republican lawmakers with Donald Trump as he moves forward with the new trade tariffs. House Speaker Paul Ryan, who rarely directly criticizes the president, said tariffs are not the solution and warned pulling out of trade pacts, as Trump did with the TPP, threatens the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, Ryan says Democrats have jumped the shark with a bill that would abolish the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency.
They're tripping over themselves to move too far to the left. They're out of the mainstream of America. And that's one of the reasons why I feel very good about this fall.
Ryan says he's focused on immigration bills that have a chance of being passed by President Trump. The death toll has climbed from recent flooding in Japan. Bloomberg's Gerard Reedy has more from Tokyo.
The death toll from torrential rains that struck western Japan 1 week ago has hit 200. As more bodies are recovered in the cleanup effort. Water and power are yet to be fully restored in some areas, and authorities are warning those affected and working in the recovery to beware of scorching temperatures. Many roads in the affected regions remain impassable, leaving some supermarket shelves bare, and the death toll may still grow, with dozens still missing. In Tokyo, I'm Gerard Reedy, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees beat the Indians 7-4 Progressive Field, taking down one of the game's best pitchers in Corey Kluber.
Swung on and driven to deep right field. Oh, it hit the pole. It hit the pole for a home run. How do you like that? Let the Guardy party begin. He plants one up the right field foul pole, and the Yankees take a 7-4 lead.
Yankees radio two home runs for leadoff hitter Brett Gardner, who has 9 on the year, which helped overcome a subpar outing for Luis Severino, who gave up 4 runs in 5 innings. Despite the Yankees' tremendous success this season, they're staring at the realization they may have to make a move at the trade deadline to catch Boston. Red Sox have won 10 straight as they beat Toronto at Fenway Park. New York enters the weekend still 3.5 back of Boston, who will continue their series with the Blue Jays, while the Yankees send Domingo Herman against the Tribes' Shane Bieber. Max Scherzer and the Nationals beat the Mets at Citi Field 5-4. It's Scherzer's 12th win of the year. The Nats never trailed in this one. Tonight, it's Tanner Roark versus Noah Syndergaard. NBA, the Nets part ways with crowd favorite for most New Yorkers, Jeremy Lin, sending him to the Hawks and then picking up Darrell Arthur and Kenneth Faried from the Nuggets. The multi-team trade saves Denver $21 million in salary cap, and then they added Isaiah Thomas. NFL news, the Hall of Fame won't honor Terrell Owens at its upcoming ceremonies in Wimbledon. Despite being seeded 25th, Serena Williams onto the finals again. It's men's semis today. American John Isner faces Kevin Anderson at 8 a.m. That's followed by Rafael Nadal versus Novak Djokovic. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks. We invite you to join us for Bloomberg Business of Sports. NASCAR's former chief operating officer and president of sports talent management company IMG, our guest. We speak to Bruin Sports Capital founder George Pine tonight at 8, tomorrow morning at 11, or download the podcast on iTunes. S&P futures virtually unchanged. And the sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. China's trade surplus with the U.S. hit a record of nearly $29 billion in June. The figure was inflated by a weakening yuan, but it still serves as fodder for President Trump's trade grievances. AT&T will fight for its $85 billion merger with Time Warner in the Supreme Court if necessary. The Justice Department late yesterday filed a notice of appeal to last month's ruling allowing the deal to go ahead. Investors are on edge with Singapore's sovereign wealth fund GIC joining Temasek in warning returns may suffer as the trade dispute escalates. Both firms see the odds of a global slump on the rise. And President Trump kicked off his visit to the UK by saying Theresa May's Brexit plan will kill any hopes for a trade deal with the US. The president also suggested ex-Foreign Minister Boris Johnson would be a better leader than May. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures are little changed, up a point. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures up 7. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 1/3% or 25 cents to $70.08 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5 to $12.41.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1628. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, breaking news. President Trump is meeting with UK Prime Minister Theresa May right now. Let's listen in.
To spend on to that commitment. We do. Others are now understand the importance of spending their 2% commitment to the nation. So we've got lots of that.
What we do, the Prime Minister and I worked very hard together in NATO, and that was an incredible 2 days, I think. It's never been more united. People are paying. We are two of the five that are totally paid up, but others are coming along rapidly. I think it was a very, very productive 2 days, and we arrived here last night. We had a dinner where I think we probably never developed a better relationship than last night. We spoke for an hour and a half, and it was really something. And today we're talking trade, we're talking military. We just looked at some incredible anti-terrorism things that are being done here in conjunction with the United States. And the relationship is very, very strong. We really had a very good relationship. And I think we're going to do a news conference in a little while, so we'll answer your questions then. And right now we're going to be talking about some other things that are taking place in the Middle East and elsewhere. Okay? Thank you all very much.
That was playback of President Trump meeting with UK Prime Minister Theresa May, the comments just before they start their meeting. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets fell to the Nationals. The Red Sox and A's were winners. The Orioles lost. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. It is now 6:20, coming up on 6:21 on Wall Street. And Allison Williams is joining us now. She's Senior Financial Services Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, and she knows her way around the financial institutions that will be giving us their results today. Allison, good morning. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup reporting earnings. What are you expecting? Let's start with JPM.
For J.P. Morgan, they do tend to set the bar across several key businesses, and we're expecting a solid quarter. Capital markets revenue fell seasonally from the first quarter, based on the things that we look at, but still should be very healthy in terms of both trading and fees. I think the key thing that we're going to be looking at is loan growth for J.P. Morgan and really across the banks. Because that is an area where I think there was a lot of optimism coming into the year due to tax reform. And we really didn't see it in the first quarter. Coming out of the first quarter, there was a lot of optimism, but that really has sort of faded throughout. The one area where we have seen a pickup is commercial and industrial lending growth. We've seen some acceleration. So we're going to want to see if we can see that at some of the banks. We had a disappointing result from a smaller bank a couple of nights ago, highlighting some of the risks in commercial real estate. So I think that's also going to be a focus. Deposit pricing was another disappointment that we saw at that bank. But again, different banks have different portfolios. Uh-huh. But keep in mind that net interest income is a key driver for the banks. It's been helped by rising rates. But from here going forward, we do want to see loan growth helping to drive that interest income. And we are watching the risk of higher deposit prices.
Picture's been pretty bright for Wells Fargo. What are we expecting there?
So for Wells Fargo, the key is really how are they managing through the Fed constraints that were set back in February or announced back in February. So as you know, they've had ongoing issues since their announcement of an account mis-selling practice in September 2016. They're working through those issues. The stress test results, I think, were positive. It's sort of the first good news we've had in a period of intensified regulatory scrutiny for them. They're going to be returning capital. That's going to be very helpful to their ROE. But the question is, for them, loan growth is perhaps determined less by the overall environment and more by this constraint. But can they still grow in some core loan categories?
Okay. And Citigroup?
And for Citigroup, again, with the sort of global concerns out there, and that's really, I think, the key thing driving the stocks, right? So the big picture question for all of the stocks is, will global trade concerns and the risk to global growth find their way into the U.S. economy, and will those sort of concerns offset some of the positives that we're expecting from the U.S. economy for tax reform? And Citigroup is the most global of the U.S. peers. They earn about half their revenue internationally. And so obviously there'll be questions for them in terms of what they're seeing globally, what they think the risks are. Are they seeing concern from their clients across the board in terms of corporate and consumer clients? And again, I think loan growth is interesting for them, but from a different perspective, because it'll give us a little bit more of a regional barometer.
Okay. Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, and a good thumbnail of what we're expecting out of these bank earnings. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. Dow futures up by 4 points. NASDAQ futures up by 4 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield down to 2.8399%. West Texas Intermediate crude down 1/3% to $70.06 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 0.75% to $73.88. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SPDRS.com. Call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
30. Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are holding steady and European equities are gaining as trade tensions between the U.S. and China appear to ease. Stocks in Asia posted their first weekly advance in 5 weeks.
The latest economic data out of Asia, meantime, may not help trade relations. China's monthly surplus with the U.S. rose to a record in June, while exports to the nation also soared.
The pound is falling after President Trump warned that UK Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit proposal could kill any future U.S. trade deal.
AT&T shares are down 1.5% in early trading. The U.S. Justice Department is appealing a judge's decision to allow the company's takeover of Time Warner. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
The department's antitrust division filed a notice of appeal in Washington federal court. A Justice Department win at the appeals level would undo a stinging rebuke for the government and vindicate the decision by the head of the antitrust division to challenge the Time Warner takeover. AT&T closed the Time Warner transaction on June 14th, 2 days after U.S. District Judge Richard Leon's ruling. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Johnson & Johnson shares down more than 3% in early trading. The drug maker was ordered by a jury to pay almost $4.7 billion to women who claimed asbestos in the company's talc products caused ovarian cancer.
Wall Street awaits bank earnings today. J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all report before the opening bell.
And oil is poised for its biggest weekly loss in almost 5 months. U.S.-China trade tensions is rattling crude investors, while Libya's plans to boost output allayed some fears of a supply crunch. Checking oil now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 27 cents to $70.06 a barrel, and Brent is down about 0.8% at $73.89. Bob.
6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your volatility index report. And the VIX fell yesterday to close at 12.58. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is sitting right where we left it yesterday, unchanged at 12.58. That's this morning's volatility report.
And S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures up 3, NASDAQ futures up 4. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.40 at $12.41.20 an ounce. The British pound is at $1.3126. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by National Realty. Developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net. The president's turn to make nice with the UK PM. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Bob. President Trump and British Prime Minister Theresa May are meeting right now at Chequers in the UK. Earlier, President Trump said a soft Brexit will kill the chances of a trade deal between the U.S. and the U.K. on his first official trip to the country. In an interview with the Sun newspaper, Trump criticized Prime Minister May for her negotiating tactics.
I told her how to do it. She wanted to go a different route.
Mm. So you would be prepared to walk away if they didn't give you the right terms?
Oh, absolutely. I think what's going on is very unfortunate. It's too long. You know, deals that take too long are never good ones.
Meanwhile, protesters have gathered in London to demonstrate against President Trump's visit to Britain. FBI agent Peter Strzok was grilled by Republicans in a congressional hearing that lasted 10 hours yesterday on Capitol Hill. Strzok exchanged text messages with former FBI attorney Lisa Page that were critical of then-candidate Donald Trump during the presidential campaign. Before ending the hearing, House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte said Republicans will resist attempts to prevent them from getting to the facts.
This is not over, and you, as well as future witnesses, are on notice that fulsome answers are expected promptly. With that, this hearing is adjourned.
Some Republicans say the texts show anti-Trump bias in the FBI. However, Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly read a series of what he said are emails written by Republicans also critical of Trump during the campaign.
The following email. Character matters. Real Donald Trump is obviously not going to win, but he can still make an honorable move, step aside, and let someone else try. Did you write that email?
I don't believe I did.
No, you didn't. Republican Senator Ben Sasse wrote that email.
Today, Page will be on the hot seat on Capitol Hill. Game of Thrones is back. The HBO show has picked up the most nominations of any show in this year's field of Emmy nominees. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees continue to keep pace with the Red Sox, winners of 10 straight with some impressive work of their own on Lake Erie. Brett Gardner homered twice, including in the ninth inning, as New York took game one of the four-game set, 7-4 over the Indians.
Yeah, it's a big win for us today. I mean, anytime you're facing Corey Kluber, I mean, I thought that, the two best right-handers in the American League and maybe in baseball pitching tonight, neither of them had their best stuff. But for us to be able to come out on top, like you said, in a night when Sevy, struggled a little bit for him early on.
It's Gardner's eighth and ninth homer of the year. Shane Bieber hosts Domingo Herman tonight. Mets saw Max Scherzer hold them at bay for a 5-4 win for the Nationals at Citi Field. 12th win of the year for Scherzer. Noah Syndergaard on the bump tonight, hosting Tanner Roark. NBA, the Nets send guard Jeremy Lin to the Hawks and Isaiah Whitehead to Denver for Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur, along with draft picks. It frees up $21 million in salary cap space for the Nuggets, who then signed Isaiah Thomas to a $2 million deal. In tennis, Serena Williams is conquering motherhood and about to conquer Wimbledon again, advancing to the finals despite being seeded 25th.
It's crazy. I don't even know how to feel, because literally didn't expect to do this well in my fourth tournament back in 16 months, So I just feel like when I don't have anything to lose, I just can play so free, and that's kind of what I'm doing.
She'll face Germany's Angelique Kerber. Today, men's action, Kevin Anderson faces American John Isner at 8 a.m., followed by Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal in the other semi. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Elon Musk, proprietor of a rocket company, an electric car vendor, and a neurotechnology startup, may be embarking on his biggest challenge yet, improving urban transit on the cheap. Musk's Boring Company has been selected to build a new transit link between downtown Chicago and O'Hare Airport. He envisioned 16-passenger electric-powered pods skating underneath the city at 150 miles per hour, covering the route in just 12 minutes. Musk will work with untested technology and an unorthodox design. All the same, wish him well. With transit costs rising and service deteriorating in many U.S. cities, bold ideas are in short supply. Musk's latest scheme is of a piece with the American tradition of public-private partnership in building transport networks, and it will bring fresh thinking to the challenges of urban construction. Commuting remains about as slow and wearying as it was a generation ago. Bringing Silicon Valley's inventive ethos to the urban grid should only help. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Some health insurers are ignoring anxiety over Obamacare and instead planning to expand their presence in insurance exchanges next year. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Industry officials say insurers are expanding into the individual markets because the exchanges are making the money.
There's about 13 states where they are expanding. The plans are finally gaining some profitability.
Bloomberg Law's Sarah Hanser.
They know that there's not going to be an individual mandate penalty in 2019. They've made accommodations for that. They know they're not going to get the cost-sharing reduction payments directly.
But what they may not be able to overcome is the Trump administration's suspension of payments to companies to help them cover the cost of sicker patients. Those payments are on hold pending federal court action. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. A spat over climate change has prompted ExxonMobil to abandon a lobbying group bankrolled by fossil fuel companies. Exxon says it won't be renewing its membership in the American Legislative Exchange Council, meaning the oil giant's participation ended as of last month. In December, Exxon had a public spat with the group, known as ALEC for short, after some members backed by climate skeptics moved to convince the federal government to drop its claim that climate change is a risk to human health. Exxon's departure comes amid a corporate exodus by the likes of Ford and Expedia Group, largely in response to ALEC's positions on climate rules, renewable energy, and other issues. The group, which is backed by the conservative Koch brothers, issued a statement by email saying it has valued ExxonMobil's work and leadership on STEM education and other issues. Late last year, Exxon was among the companies that objected to a measure debated by the lobbying group. It was aimed at encouraging states to prod the Environmental Protection Agency to rescind its Obama-era determination that climate change requires regulation. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently very little change. Dow futures down 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 3 points. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, your Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from Columbia's wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking to mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are little change. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 4 points. S&Ps are a little changed, and NASDAQ futures climbed by five. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.84%, the dollar trading higher, and Japan gained 1.9% overnight. And note that China's trade surplus with the U.S. hit a record $29 billion in June. European markets are also trading mostly higher, led by gains in the U.K. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, import price index, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, J&J lost its $4.7 billion cancer-linked trial. Shares are down 3% in the pre-market. And the U.S. DOJ is appealing the AT&T merger case defeat. Regarding earnings this morning, it looked like J.P. Morgan is out right now. Q2 investment banking revenue, $1.95 billion. Estimate was $1.76 billion. And 2Q fixed sales and trading revenue, $3.45 million. Estimate was $3.2 million. Also look for Citigroup and Wells Fargo to report around 8 a.m. In other news, Deutsche Bank said that Netflix may see a pullback in the short term. And wrapping things up, Broadcom was downgraded at BMO and Raymond James. Visteon was downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, and Insight cut to equally over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And we are watching J.P. Morgan Chase in the early trade. Shares are up 0.6% as those earnings cross the Bloomberg. Again, fixed income trading, sales and trading revenue beating analyst estimates. Equity sales and trading revenue also beating analyst estimates. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is in the U.K. for talks with British Prime Minister Theresa May. The meetings are expected to be awkward after Trump criticized May's Brexit plans in an interview with the Sun newspaper. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says he would divest all his remaining equity holdings after the government's top ethics watchdog said his failure to sell off assets could pose a serious conflict of interest. In his ethics agreement, Ross, a New York businessman, had pledged to divest numerous assets, including all his holdings in Invesco, within 90 days of his confirmation. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets fell to the Nationals. The Red Sox and A's were winners. The Orioles lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, need some space? Literally? Jeff Bezos' rocket company, Blue Origin, plans to charge passengers around $300,000 a ticket for its first trips into space next year. According to Reuters, the new Shepard space vehicle is designed to autonomously fly six passengers more than 62 miles above the Earth. Bob, it's high enough to experience weightlessness.
Can you get a refund? Because if I were your travel agent to the cosmos, I'd be asking, if you really want to spend several hundred thousand dollars to test out whether you're going to be one of the number of space travelers who get space sick.
Well, you do get pretzels on this, though. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
That's an expensive roller coaster. That's all I have to say. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. And the time of the morning when we check what's going on in D.C., but today's action in U.S. politics is overseas, with President Trump in day two of a three-day visit to the U.K. Let's get the latest on that from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, who is in London. President Trump's visit to the U.K., he made some remarks to the Sun newspaper, which sort of set back relations with the British Prime Minister.
Yeah, he certainly is showing on this trip that he is definitely not shy about rocking the boat when he heads into meetings with U.S. allies. In this case, you know, just as he was having dinner, a big fancy dinner in Oxford, sure, last night with Theresa May, the news broke that he'd given an interview to The Sun where he basically had very scathing criticism of May's Brexit plan. And that's particularly significant because his visit comes at a time when May is really on the road with her own cabinet. She lost her foreign secretary, Boris Johnson, on Monday, along with David Davis, her Brexit secretary. So that is certainly, you know, an issue that she's going to have to contend with.
I can only imagine the expression on her face as her phone went off and she got the text all about what the president had to say.
Yeah, to be like a fly on the wall in her, you know, conversation with, you know, her aides and her husband who was sitting near her as she found out that news. You know, it's quite an awkward moment to be sitting there, you know, with the president and at this dinner and then have to contend with that news. And then today have to sit down with him in a bilateral meeting as well.
Not only that, but he also had some comments about Boris Johnson. He said he likes the guy. Of course, Johnson is the one who abandoned Theresa May's cabinet earlier this week.
Definitely. Johnson has been a major thorn in Theresa May's side this week. And so the president had some kind words for Boris earlier this week before he left for the UK. But he really expanded upon those in the Sun article. And that is, you know, kind of rubbing salt in the wound in a very big way for Theresa May right now.
Now, he said a few days ago that he might meet with Boris Johnson. Do we know whether that is planned or not?
So we don't have any kind of firm suggestion beyond what he said earlier that he was going to meet with Johnson. But, you know, he does go to Scotland later today, and he'll be there until he heads to Helsinki later for his meeting with Putin on Monday. So he's there basically through the weekend, and there's been some speculation he may try to golf while he's up there. And, you know, it would certainly be set tongues really wagging here in the UK if Boris turned out to be one of his golfing partners.
Now today, President Trump did have a meeting with Theresa May. Was that cordial as far as we know?
That's right. That meeting is actually, as far as we know, still ongoing. They're going to do a press conference at the conclusion of it in a bit here. But it did seem, by all accounts, it seemed very cordial when they showed up. Theresa May is at her country estate north of London, and Trump made the trip up there to meet with her as part of a way of, frankly, getting him out of London today when there's a whole bunch of protests, anti-Trump protests planned. But that was all, you know, smiles and well wishes when they met at the door of her country estate. Who knows what the temperature is behind closed doors.
And have he and the First Lady met with the Queen yet?
No, that comes later today. So after this meeting with Theresa May, they come back very briefly to London, and then they go to Windsor Castle to have some tea with the Queen later this evening.
And so far, have the British been gracious in terms of welcoming the president and first lady?
Well, I think it depends on kind of there's several ways to answer that question. I mean, there, as we speak, there's a Trump baby balloon that's flying over Parliament Square down by Big Ben. So, you
a
know,
Trump
I think,
baby balloon. Describe yeah. that to me. What is that?
So it's basically a giant inflatable balloon that's like 100 feet off the ground, and it depicts the president in a baby diaper or a nappy, as they would say in London. And so that's gotten some criticism from Trump supporters as being, you know, somewhat immature and potentially, you know, not reflecting the gravitas with which a U.S. president should be received.
And, of course, the president is coming off the NATO summit. Has there been any more talk about some of the high-pressure tactics that he used there?
Well, he definitely rocked the boat at NATO. He went so far as to insinuate that he might withdraw the U.S. or consider trying to withdraw the U.S. from NATO if the allies and the member states didn't meet his demands to increase defense spending. He then also kind of claimed victory and said that he'd gotten them to increase defense spending. That's a claim that the NATO members quickly refuted and basically said, look, we agreed a long time ago to increase our defense spending. We're doing what we said we were going to be doing prior to the NATO summit. Nothing has changed, but Trump is still trying to claim victory on that after really, you know, bashing them for not doing it as quickly as he thinks they should be doing it.
And very briefly, the next stop could be another big point here in his trip.
Yeah, so Trump said at the outset of the trip that he thought the Putin part of it, which comes next in Helsinki on Monday, would be potentially the easiest. And in some ways, it may actually turn out to be that because it's been so much acrimony in the first couple stages, which is unusual because right now is the part where he's meeting with traditional U.S. allies.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, who is with the president in London right now. And thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And it's now 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. On trade, President Trump is writing a new rule book. Rule one, assume trade war victory is easy. In March, Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro predicted that no country would retaliate against our tariffs. Since then, inconveniently, Canada, China, the European Union, and Mexico have all imposed tariffs on us. Rule two, make sure your tariffs inflict maximum damage on your own country's companies. Nearly all our tariffs against China fall on capital goods and intermediate goods. They thus reduce the competitiveness of many American companies that use these goods. Rule three, take on as many other countries simultaneously as you can. Trump is taking on China and imposing tariffs on nearly every steel producer in the world and renegotiating NAFTA. He's betting he can succeed without a coalition or prioritization. Rule four, avoid making clear negotiating demands. We've left China in the dark about what it would have to do for us to back down. Agree or disagree with this strategy, it's certainly novel. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We continue to watch J.P. Morgan Chase in the early trade up 1.4%. It reported fixed income and equity trading revenue that beat analyst estimates. CEO Jamie Dimon saying he sees good global economic growth and stronger global competition. And we'll continue to watch those shares this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Lisa Abramowitz coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg.